It is Friday, June 26th at 7:02 a.m. A reading with Ion and Carolyn on Ion on Medicine and reading number 64. Good day, Ion. So we're continuing on with our Medicine with Ion series and just sort of moping alphabetically through, and we stopped at heart disease yesterday. Will Ion give me an overview of non-physical on heart disease? Mm-hmm. Right. Uh-oh, I forgot to put the speaker on for your words, so we are going back to that. I started to think, oh, I'm hearing noise in the background, and that's going to be picked up on the computer, but it wasn't.
Right.
Okay, then let me just repeat what you said, and then you can go from there. Heart disease, the lack of these in the muscle of the heart. It also deals with the matter of the heart, or the heart of the matter. The heart becomes a sifter as it pumps. It makes the filtration system work. It keeps the circulation into the aspect of pulmonary completeness. Now, let me stop there and say, what do you mean by pulmonary completeness?
Yes, the pulmonary system, okay, we're dealing with the circulatory system, the whole mm-hmm. ramification of the arteries and the veins, mm-hmm. and the in and the out, the waxing and the waning, the yin and the yang. It's what balances in the four chambers of the heart that circulates that in a circulating pump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why your AFib becomes a problem.
Mm-hmm. But the pulmonary system, then that's going into the lungs, though.
Absolutely, because that's how the blood is oxygenated.
Okay.
Because that's the point. Because if you without that, you can live without a heart, but you can't live without a pulmonary system.
Okay, there's your point. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that's the key aspect of the condition. We're talking about this. You were asking not necessarily about the heart. You were asking about the disease
mm-hmm.
of the heart. Oh, so that's like a heartache.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh, that's a heartbreak.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. That requires a bypass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting. See, that's when you have a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
When part of the muscle would die. You're talking about the disease. You didn't ask about the heart itself, so that's why we're going that way.
Yes, and in terms of requiring a bypass, well, then with the disease, a person has already bypassed their heart.
Yes, that's correct. And it's not the heart that's the broken issue. It's the lines, the conduit there, that is again, of the run to it, that they strip your veins out of your legs.
Mm-hmm.
And repair and go around the blockages.
Mm-hmm.
If a stent won't work, if the plaque can't be removed, if the embolism can't be embolized.
Mm-hmm.
we just have such fun playing, making new words. It's just very fun.
Well, you're almost creating, but that's why you laugh every time when you do it. It's like I'm pretending to create.
Well, indeed, but it comes from you and that aspect of how words are the myth builders, our buddies.
Ah, yeah. Right.
You see. Well, if Google can get away with it, why can't not this?
I know, it's so funny. Okay.
So now, that's the heart issue, the first part. Now, we notice we spent as much time on the spiritual aspects of that as we did the physical aspects of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's your disconnections.
Mm-hmm.
It all leans and runs back into the pericardium. Pericardium is what protects the muscle of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's the stack that holds the fluid that allows the heart to have a different electrocardiogram resonance. Otherwise, it's an insulator. Otherwise, mm-hmm. you couldn't pick up the different electrical wavelengths of an echocardiogram.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
That's why that's significant. It's because, and now, also now, when you have Jesus on the cross, it just like in birth, mm-hmm. the water comes and then the blood.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the same thing, when you pierce the heart, you get the water from the pericardium first.
Oh, yeah.
Then you get the blood. Same parallel.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Bob were up, he would be asking all about the spear that pierced Jesus' side and
mm-hmm.
who had it and the Roman that's still doomed to walk the earth because he was the participant in that process. But
yeah, but no, I would, yeah. And I would stop you both because I know that's just your way of getting into it.
It's a little easier if he's still at rest. It's real easy because he would not. Now, wait a minute, Ion. Wait a minute. Let's get right there. We're not going any further till we get that cleaned up. It's just too much fun. But it'll make a nice topic that he'll come back again and two months later go, what about that? You know, and then we'll play. But regardless, that's that whole dynamic that sets the belief system up, you see.
What's the whole dynamic that sets what belief system up?
These different stories that can be delved into and the parallels drawn into the medical aspects of the whole process mm-hmm. of the condition of how the water comes and then the blood comes and the understanding the pericardium and understanding the rib cages of how it actually is a vessel that holds it, that holds it into a level or degree of protection.
And you're saying that there was a piercing of the pericardium in the heart with Jesus?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they were trying, he wouldn't die fast enough, so they...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But now that dynamic, you see, is the same way from emotional things as well.
Mm-hmm.
The insulator. Because the heart's pretty well entrenched in the meat sack part of the body.
Mm-hmm.
The way the rib cage comes around,
yeah,
the way the sternum,
yeah.
The way the bone, the sternum, you know, that they have to saw through to even get to it.
Yeah.
Well, that's the same way with non-physical. It's protected in that spot as well, in your central nervous system, the
mm-hmm.
central core.
Mm-hmm.
Your core body temperature, that basis, and they're very protective of the heart. You see, that's why the disease of the heart is such a big killer.
Now, it is known that there's no cancer of the heart. Why is
Correct.
That?
Because it's completely held separate as a symbiote.
Mm.
It's completely separate. You can't get a cancer of the heart muscle.
And why does being completely symbiont mean you can't get cancer?
Because it's from a different makeup.
Oh. And what is that makeup?
Well, it's just it's completely separate from the cancer cell replication. But now, wait a second. You can do, be, or have anything. So set that meme into motion and give it a little air time and
mm-hmm.
and set that up and then. If you sip one glass of red wine, I'm sure it could probably be allocated to a cancer in your heart.
Okay, let's not go there.
Okay.
So it's completely separate.
But there is
but why is it separate? Why?
Because the heart muscle itself is the pump that works, that you give great intention regarding from an emotional standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
So it is protected from the invasion of these false cells that even if it's in your bloodstream. You can have an infection in your bloodstream, but it won't set a cancer growing in the heart pump. It's the cycler. For example, let's say you have a swimming pool and you have a pump that circulates the water, and you get mustard, which is the growth of stuff in a pool of water. You don't catch mustard by the pump. And the pump doesn't break down because of mustard.
Are you talking about edible mustard?
No, no, we're talking about the growing fungusy mustard.
Okay.
It's very difficult to get out of a swimming pool system. Mustard grows in the water. Well, the pump just pumps it.
Yeah.
And the pump pumps it through filters and all those kind of things, but you'll just get more mustard, but that has nothing to do with the pump.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't get the poison in the pump.
But people don't know that they can't get cancer in the heart.
But nobody said that there is cancer of the heart, so therefore they haven't set a war on it yet.
So
therefore it's not yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be, because you can be or have anything.
Yeah.
Please yourself.
So it still really doesn't quite make sense.
We'll get you there.
Keep going.
Well, if you want to do, we've given the example that the heart has a very significant. When you marry that someone, you fall in love, it's supposed to be a heart thing. Isn't that what St. Valentine was trying to convey?
Yes.
Well, it becomes a separate issue. Heartbreak can heal. You can forgive things that your body won't allow you to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
But the heart allows you to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
It's separate.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's why you can have a transplant that works out very, very nicely. More so, and you have to take the drugs, the rejection, anti-rejection drugs.
Yeah.
But that's much more successful than many other transplants that you have.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Because it's a symbiote host relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because of the insulating value of the pericardium and the protection level of the ribs and the meat and the back and how everything hooks together, you see.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much in there to protect it from. In Kung Fu or Taekwondo, one lick to the heart can change that rhythm and frequency and you drop dead immediately with a blow to the chest. And you don't break anything. It just changes the rhythm. It makes the pump lose its prime. And we know all about that with riff riding, but makes the pump lose its prime, and we learned all about that with riff riding. And remember, when the pump loses its prime, going from one geographic plane to another, that's also a symbiote host travel situation. There's an interesting parallel there, and we've been straining to say it.
But I could ask about it because, yeah, priming the pump, I did not take it as priming the heart pump. So is that what you were meaning when you were saying that? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Okay. And that becomes now we've given the heart muscle, and it's a hunk of meat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, weighs typically a pound and a half to 3 pounds. Sometimes the people in renal shutdown or failure have an enlarging of the heart.
Right.
In which it presses and makes pressure, so it's not as effective. And if you have a heart attack, then part of those muscles will die. The pumping part can be destroyed. But not from a cancer thing. It's an electrical thing. Okay? And it's always that way. And that's why they listen to the beat and the cycles and the rotations of those falling. And there's tons and tons of things that can get out of whack within the body that can have them that they blame on heart issues, which really have nothing to do with heart issues. But that's why the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. But that has two ramifications. One of the physical, spiritual, physical on one side and the spiritual on the other side. But people can develop heart disease when they have a heart break. Rarely is it the other way around. Can't have pauses on the radio, Carol.
Yeah.
they don't have heart disease, which causes them to have a heartbreak.
Yeah, that's true.
And, let's say that's true, but that becomes what's the normal proximity of the vibrational offing that's understood regarding that process. Okay. But we're going to dance into it a little bit. We won't go into the full ramifications because, you see, you could actually clear up epilepsy and lots of other issues and problems just understanding the heart completely. But we're just kind of moving through this process, you see. But they'll have to be further developed as you kind of ebb and flow along in this process.
Yeah.
Once you understand it, then you realize we're sifting out the false premises or the clumps in the flour
mm-hmm.
that can make you have a doughy bread.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're trying to get a fluid, a silkiness, mm-hmm. a oneness, a symbiance with the yeast and the bread and the water and the oil and making bread.
Yeah.
The mm-hmm. bread of life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We'll see that.
Epilepsy, and definitely I'll be coming back to that. It's like another, we'll do a heart book, but
yes.
Just to tell me what is the connection of epilepsy and the heart?
Okay. Well, no. Now, wait. We spent a tremendous amount of words on laying the groundwork, understanding the synaptic versions or flowing of an epileptic neuron ending, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the same thing is true with the heart. It hooks all the vascular aspects. Isn't it interesting that you can have an aneurysm in the brain, which sometimes can be very critically life-threatening?
Mm-hmm.
And that has to do with a blood clot, that is, pressure is applied from the heart muscle.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then they sometimes, or if you have a bleed in the brain. That has to do with conduit, not
yeah.
the heart.
Mm-hmm.
But the heart's the problem because it's what's pumping the blood out.
Yes.
If you could stop the pump, you could stop the bleed. If you could stop the pump, you could stop the pressure from the aneurysm.
Right.
If you could stop the cycling of circulation, now limbs are certainly going to wane and fall off without the
oxygenation. Right.
That's why pulmonary came into that whole key, because that's the whole issue, because you're also not allergic to oxygen yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Same way, same song, different verse. Okay, if you can work out all those issues and those derisions of how they manifest themselves, whether it can be bipolar, epileptic, all those different kind of things have to do with the laying of conduit.
Oh, yeah.
Of what gets attention, of what the flow is attached regarding.
Mm-hmm.
And that affects the electrical aspect, which we've already discussed, is that why the heart is separate, because it's gauged on the EEG of the electrocardiogram that can give you a picture of the frequency of the heart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which can be different than your frequency of your body.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Sometimes when you're out of a frequency and you can't get anything to pick up on your radio, your tuner can be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you call the tuner your heart, then that can be. That's why people don't get these embolisms and issues, you see, or these traumas that can cause disconnection or a break in the flow, either by blockage or by bleed, where the pressure is reduced so you don't have good flow.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the heart's problem, but that's what becomes the issue, you see. That's why your blood pressure is so important, because of that when the high is too high and the low is too low, you have problems.
Mm-hmm. Now, you started to say that's why people don't get these embolisms. What people...
No. That's why they get them, and why they don't get broken. They can have a mild degree of heart disease, and it doesn't necessarily mean they're doomed
mm-hmm.
to an embolism. Just like, but they say, if they call you up and say, okay, Carolyn, it's stage 4 pancreatic cancer, we'd hope for so much more, they don't even give you the opportunity to overcome. And so,
mm-hmm.
therefore, your numbers are embarrassingly, sillily low
mm-hmm.
that if you can't recover from 4th stage pancreatic cancer.
Mm-hmm. And so with heart disease, yes, if somebody is told they have heart disease, then they can get into feeling that they're doomed just from the diagnosis.
Yes, but they don't have to, you see, because it's a separate entity.
Mm-hmm.
It's a separate entity. It's kind of like non-physical.
What's a separate entity?
The heart.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
The heart. The heart is separate. You can replace it. Well, if you're having pancreatic cancer, why can't they give you a new pancreas?
I see. Mm-hmm.
Well, they don't do pancreas transplants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, why not?
Mm-hmm. So is it the ability, the, you know, most recent ability in the past couple of decades to do successful transplants that has lowered the incidence of heart disease?
No, it's the understanding, the symbiote host relationship between the space between the heart muscle and the pericardium wall.
Uh-huh.
That's where infections can get, is in the pericardium.
But there's always been that pericardium. Why
is
heart disease supposedly lowering in incidence right now?
Because they are recognizing the neurologist that come in that work with the cardiologist, that they're overlapping a bit, and they're starting to understand the incidence between neurology and cardiology, that those frequencies and waves, when they do the angioplasty,
mm-hmm.
they're starting to learn the difference in the sameness of these electrical cords or conduit and these veins and artery cords, which are separate, but they are amazingly, perplexingly, very closely intertwined, interlinked.
Uh-huh.
You see? And that can go all the way back into edema of why your body, if something tells your body to hold fluid because you don't have the circulation. So the heart is a separate entity, and it says we're having a little decrease of flow back from such and such, so you better hold a little more fluid to protect it. So now you start holding fluid.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the neurological aspect that gives the body the signs, the clicks, the keys, the heads ups, the 3-2-1 lifts off that compensate for the heart saying via frequency, okay, we're having a little decrease of oxygenization, so if you're our pressure or circulation, so then the aspect of how it corrects itself or tries to is by the holding of the fluid or the causing issue with the kidneys or the liver function or the hypothalamus and all those different things that they always treated them as separate.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And
but most organs. Most organs have this feedback compensation. Yes. It's not just the heart.
Yes, exactly. But nowhere does the gout tell the heart that the uric acid is there and it needs to increase something to move it out. The heart comes from the heart out, but nothing tells the heart that that's an issue and a problem. It doesn't say pump more, you see. But you can run, and the neurological workings of your moving more oxygen through your body because you're increasing your heart rate, because you're expending energy. Remember the calorie issue and the process of food in, food out, energy in, energy out, of the caloric value of the heat exchange can increase the heart rate because you're using more oxygen because you're running or jogging or exercising or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And why it slows down when you go into slumber.
Mm-hmm.
Your body doesn't tell the heart to do that. Your heart picks up on these new conditions and adjusts accordingly.
I see. Mm-hmm.
And that's when you have a heart attack, is when those get crossed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see? And that's why when somebody has this horrible news or big drama or sometimes emotionally, then the pain starts shooting down their left arm and on and on and on. And that becomes then their transitional condition of that attack on the heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, like you said, we're going to do a whole book in that whole dimension, because if you could understand that the soul part, the non-physical part of you, and the link to the heart of how that symbiote becomes one with the host, then you'll do away with heart disease and put a lot of cardiologists out of business, but they won't care because they'll be so healthy they won't know the difference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Isn't it interesting that cardiologists have the largest incidence of heart attacks?
Uh-huh.
Do the numbers. They have the most strokes. They have the most aneurysms. They have the most issues, and they understand it best.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Very interesting that most cardiologists smoke.
Mm-hmm.
They have a much higher incidence of it. Isn't it interesting? I mean, there's nothing wrong with smoking. Smoke yourself to death. I mean, or not. Help yourself. Please yourself. We're not pushing against any of that, but at the same time, it's just very interesting that they are drawn to that aspect of a conditional response, mm-hmm. because that's what they spend all day, every day, looking at the most disconnected ones on the planet and using that as their value judgment for their new realized reality, that they have to overcome the meaning to give it that red today red wine's okay, tomorrow red wine's bad, and today's a little bit of this is good, and tomorrow it's bad, and on and on and on and on and on. Okay, so
but not knowing at all about this this symbiont relationship, they just don't have a leg to stand on.
Well, they do it the same way Bob plays in the ocean. Okay? You don't get out past your knees when the waves are up because you don't want to get wiped out. Mm-hmm. Well, but when you just go into your knees, you get wiped out because the big waves break, and then all of a sudden the crashing happens on your physicalness. Mm-hmm. If you could get out neck high, which wouldn't be far, but you could get out neck high before the waves break, then it just becomes a bobbing up and down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you don't get all the crashing of the waves.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
No.
Okay.
What's crashing and what's
the way when you go
out. No, but with the heart, what's the analogy with the heart?
Well, if you could get the understanding of that the level of the ocean is not the highest of that cresting wave, the up and the down, the up and the down is not that the new level of the ocean is that high.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that that particular wave at that point is higher than the other one was.
Right.
And then the undertow pulls that away.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that like your heart doing a circulation, pulls it in, oxygenates it, pumps it out, pulls it in, oxygenates it, pumps it out, pulls it in, and that's the same thing like your waves.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're on the edge where the waves are always breaking and you're up to your knees because you're in fear to get too deep into it, all of a sudden the big waves are crashing and they can wipe you out. And then you're more susceptible to what you call myocardial infarction.
So what is the wave... the crashing wave analogous to in the heart.
With the tide or the wave coming in, the blood coming into the chambers, the four chambers, and then pumping out.
Uh-huh.
In, out, in, out, in, out. And if the more blood comes in, sometimes that pressure's increased, so it pumps more, so then your systolic goes up. Or sometimes if it's less or there's another issue, the diastolic goes down. And that difference between the two of the blood pressures is parallel to your waves coming in, and then the undertow out, and the waves coming in, and the undertow out. And if you use that as your analogous receptor of understanding, when the big wave came in, that means that the ocean is higher, the systolic is higher.
Mm-hmm.
To a critical mass, it's going to wipe away everything on the beachhead.
Mm-hmm.
Or the diastolic is so low that it's not even reaching, and we don't have beachfront property anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and that's why they keep up with it that way, and that's very interesting. We can spend all day right there, but that's just that parallel that you'll develop to come back and ask even more.
Yeah, very good.
But that's what that's regarding, and that's why they gauge it that way.
Mm-hmm.
At this much pressure, you can hear a heartbeat, and when you get to this less of pressure, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And why is it, do you find this the most interesting thing ever? Why can't you have a BP in an uneven number? Would you like to know why?
Yes.
Because you don't get a beat and a half.
Wow.
You have four chambers, but who said you couldn't have 163 over 111?
Yes. That's
they don't even gauge it. The spinometer doesn't even gauge it that way.
Wow.
Yep. Isn't that interesting, the duality that even shows up there? Now, then they start fighting over that. Well, then you go, well, wait, that we're not pushing against anything. We're just making the conclusion, again, based on your prescribed rules and regulations of reality, that who said you couldn't have an uneven pressure systolically of your butt? You see, and if you have a problem with that, take it up with the AMA. They set it up, not us. But that duality is that by twos. By twos, by twos, by twos, by twos. Uh-huh. Now, if you really played that up and did the division, it would be the physical and the non-physical.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You really can't do one without the other.
Mm-hmm.
Until your floating gets a little better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's coming.
Yeah. Yeah, so is the cloning aspect, is that people trying to mimic what goes on between the rift and us?
No, they're trying to grow organs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
This organ doesn't work, or I want a bigger one, or I want a smaller one, or I want more. I want, you know, I want it augmented. I want it adjusted. I don't want to take these drugs to help me with this issue, so I want a new endocrinology meter. You just remove my whole thing so now I can catch sugar and then have it replaced and no, like changing an oil filter.
Yeah. Yeah. What is it? The body is a bag of chemicals with replaceable parts.
Interchangeably.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what you're going to do when other aspects start taking it over, oh wait, that already happens when you start counting the function between the liver and the kidneys. Stress one, you'll disease the other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You clean up one and you'll allow the other to work more congruently with its aspect of prospect of creation, mm-hmm. and liver disease can then be cleaned up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Except the cirrhosis, then it's over. And you'd hoped for so much more.
Wow. Well, that's pretty cool what you just told me, all that stuff. Now we're getting into the meat of the matter.
We're getting into the meat of the matter, exactly. Mm. And then the stem cells that come, mm. those stem cells they don't understand, the stem cells they throw out with the baby out with the wash, mm-hmm. the stem cells are those life-giving forces that they're using through their carnal understanding of their mind, the same way they used to go to the blood letters to get rid of the bad blood.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're evolving into a whole new place, and then they find out that stem cells are.
Mm-hmm.
And the only place they can identify those is in the umbilical cord of the newborns.
Mm-hmm.
You ever tried to cut an umbilical cord?
Yes, yeah.
You realize that you could almost need a hacksaw to get through it?
Mm-hmm.
That early mothers had to bite them through because you just couldn't take... There was, scissors don't cut umbilical cords. I mean, it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you clamp that off, because otherwise, of course, you bleed out, but when you clamp that off, the pressure that's involved in that process, you can't, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's really, really amazing. And yet, that's a whole part that comes out with the placenta anyway, that you just disregard altogether.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Something that you only use for that and never use it again, unless you're the tribe that likes to make a soup out of it, but...
Right.
That's another tale of tea.
Mm-hmm. So stem cells are a viable therapy?
And the only therapy.
Wow.
You can't unless you want to start doctoring cancer with cancer cells.
Yeah.
And I guess you could. That's how they do allergies.
So stem cells are the only therapy. That's a pretty big statement.
Nothing else applies.
Uh-huh.
But it won't help if you're not dealing with the disconnection.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But once you get the disconnection down, then all of a sudden now you don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, you don't need anything. But sometimes you've got to figure that out before you come to the laudable conclusion that why can't we don't have to leave this physical body. This is a perfectly good body. We can just stay here.
Mm-hmm.
Jack LaLanne's figuring that out.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I can change, transcend, and go to the other world. Great, but what's wrong with here?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So that's when the doctor comes in and says, this is the last resort.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, okay. Anything else on all that? will absolutely come back to about a dozen things that you opened up there. we've cut you off so much that you'll just take any opportunity to just spout the goods.
Exactly. We're just laying out new asphalt, honey.
Yeah.
We're just working the road. Working the road, because the longer we work the road, the faster than the path you have to get there. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Working the road. That's what we're actually doing. We're laying the new road.
Yes.
Want to go there. You want to get there, but you can't get there from now. Mm-hmm. And so any opportunity that we have to lay a little more asphalt to clear the road, to make where the site is seeable, to make where the process is available for you to seamlessly, easily get from Maui to the Big Island in a short window of time, if that's a problem, we can help you build a bridge.
thank you. Okay. Well, it seems a real, you know, whatever, denouement to go from, you know, this incredible, you know, cloning and stem cells and the heart and all. But the next on my list is heat exhaustion.
Hyperthermia. Hyperthermia.
Right.
Okay. That goes right back to the hypothalamus and that tricking the body to think it's hot or cold or vice versa from the actual cooling and or heating of balancing it. And that has everything to do based upon your calories.
Mm-hmm.
People think of calories as fat, and calories aren't fat. Calories are just the heat.
True.
Mm-hmm. That's all they are. Mm-hmm. And that heat is energy, and that energy is what you eat for.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then which kinds you choose have the best infiltration of how it's perceived in your processor.
Mm-hmm.
You see? You can take a small hard drive and put a great big program in, and you can crash your hard drive.
Uh-huh.
Same way, you can take a 100-pound little woman and give her 10,000 calories and say, you got to eat this right this red hot second. She'll pass out before she finishes it. Or take on the morbid obese and you go to the bariatric doctor and he says, Carolyn, we're going to make you morbidly obese. We're going to get you 700 pounds. And he says, okay, now you go home and you gain 700 pounds and come back and see me. You can't physically do it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there are people 1,600 pounds on this planet right this red hot second.
Mm-hmm.
And they sit there and say it's an impossibility.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they are. But well, what are you going to do with those?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And they do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's calories, and then back to hyperthermia.
Yes, when your system loses its ability to cool itself.
Yeah.
Then the temperature tricks itself into making more heat exchange.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Then you end up, you don't get hyperthermia, you actually get heat stroke.
Mm-hmm.
When you overload the system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's not the problem, that's the reality. It causes something else to overload. And that's when they used to put you in the alcohol bath, and it allows that heat exchange through the biggest organ in your body, through the dermis.
Mm-hmm.
That can allow that to go, but you got to be very careful that whatever's causing that to be the problem,
mm-hmm.
you don't shock the system on the other side and shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
Because after a little while, if you scratch the record enough, the needle won't follow the groove, and the record will shut down.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's why they went to an LP.
Right. Now, heat exhaustion, is it, some people get heat exhaustion, some people don't, so is there a disconnection involved with those who do?
The balance between their system, some are more susceptible. We can take this down to simply, some people can't take the sun.
Yeah.
I mean, down to the point where they get out in the bright sunshine and it's 100 degrees and they don't have their press. We call it perspiration, but that's a new word.
Yeah, right.
But that's what it actually is. It's not perspiration, darling. It's perspiration. When they're pressed and they can't release the fluid because maybe they don't have the extra fluid.
Right.
They lose the ability to cool themselves, and their body tricks them into thinking that they're cold.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they wrap up.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
When their perspiration makes pressure that they can't have the ability to cool themselves, and they've taken off all the clothes they can take, and they stop sweating, that's when you have hyperthermia, is when you stop or cease.
Yeah.
Perspiring.
Mm-hmm.
You see? That's when it's dangerous, is when you stop sweating.
And what is disconnecting them? I mean, that's the disconnection, but what is there a psychological disconnect that you can name?
It's just such a wide plethora.
Yeah.
They're in a condition that they can't adjust to. They're in an environment mm-hmm. that they don't choose to be in. Mm-hmm. Somebody drops them in the desert. But now if they plan to walk across the Sahara, they plan and they line up with it, and then they have mm-hmm. functionality to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
The same way is you can drown in the English Channel, or you can drown in a teaspoon of water.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't start out swimming across the English Channel if it was your first day swimming.
Mm-hmm.
And if you planned for that, you would condition and have and create a conditional response that would allow you the energy balance to be able to sustain that journey or path that you have created in your wanting.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime that disconnection comes from that, then that becomes your reality. See, mm-hmm. it's a balancing of the system. So it's not really a disconnection. It's an unbalancing of the load.
Mm-hmm. Right. You are spot on today, or I am. Okay. Hemochromatosis.
Okay. There are three different kinds. Which one you want to play with?
Oh, we'll have to do them all, you know.
Okay, then break it down and ask the question from...
So hemochromatosis, the buildup of iron in the body to...
No, we don't. That's the generalized version of being running too rich.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole process we're talking about. You break it down from the hematocrit side.
What causes it?
Okay. Then let's do that. The richness of the filtration process, it typically shows up in your what you call your albumin.
Mm-hmm.
And when your creatinine gets out of whack, see, the liver can do that focused function, sieving, filtering.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And if it's out of balance, something, and it goes right back to your ketones, and then we can start playing with magnesium, and then you're right back there. That's why we want to divide it into the three. Then you come into the place where your bone marrow tricks itself. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because of your disconnection to produce more
mm-hmm.
red blood cells.
Mm-hmm.
And the more blood cells that you produce, the more likelihood that you have to draw and to increase and to get out of balance the iron level of your blood, which is what they use as the gauge to find out that that is your condition.
Right.
So much so that it can have a negative effect on your white blood cells, mm-hmm. which then the next thing you know, once the blood work comes back just a certain way, you are coming into a place of leukemia.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a constant fight, the two-conversation fight. Okay, now that's one way. Now another way is within the system you are too short in your electrolyte balance
mm-hmm.
that tells your body... And this is where zinc comes in and can have a great effect. If you can't get the magnesium right, you can't get the zinc right, which allows that sort of a synthyroid balancing of the thyroid, which is a whole other conversation, but it's an example you'll understand, to get that back into a relegated place where you're not absorbing all the extra iron,
mm-hmm.
either by thinning the blood or getting rid of the plasma, the platelets,
mm-hmm.
that's where it starts to having a negative effect. When you have increased platelets and then you start picking up the extra iron, that's when that shows up, is that as an issue. then in the beginning stages of that, they'll put you on 81 milligrams of aspirin, baby aspirin, to help with the process of thinning that.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's because of the extra iron level. If you're eating a good diet, then that you are, that's doing what it's supposed to do. But if you get too much of that process, you see, then it has to compensate for that overabsorption of iron. The first way is from too many red blood cells. The second way is from the inability of the liver to filter and balance the electrolytes of the blood that's being filtered to create it into a part where you just eliminate it through stool, or whether you, the bile, the bile needs iron for that to work. But
right.
Too much of it then blocks that whole chasm to make that system not work right. Okay, now the third way is you've starved yourself from iron because you've decided that you have these proteins and these things. People find this to be the case when they're relatively very healthy and they're 300 pounds. Now, you have issue with that, but we don't. But they're very basically healthy and they're good, and then they decide that they have to be 185 pounds in order to be what the standard level of care can doctor me regarding, and that's when everything goes crazy. And that sets your triglycerides out of whack, that sets your cholesterol out of whack, which then sets your body into a place to where it starts holding more because it thinks you're going to the desert and you're going to starve. So it'll actually absorb more iron from the decrease of your allowing it into your system. So rather than adjusting it correctly, it'll hold more, thinking that that's your cortisol issue, where they start holding in the midriff. They think they're starving, so they're fixing to go on a 3-week fast, so they're holding everything they can hold. Whereas if you go back to eating a balance, and all of a sudden, oh, well, we don't have to hold this because in 3 hours we're going to have more food, so we're good. Same way with Bob. Bob could do perfectly by not eating a ton of food. Now, he can put away some grub. We're not saying that. But he could do it a bite at a time. It would please him well to actually eat 24 hours a day, a bite at a time. The grazing aspect.
Right, yeah.
But not everybody can do that. Most people like to eat, be full, digest, then eat again.
Yeah, he said the other day, you know, he kind of for the first time in a long time, he actually felt hungry. He felt hunger because he just sort of nibbles all the time and never allows himself to get that hunger feeling.
Well, but that's not caused from that. That's symptomatic of his hunger of coming in. He desperately wants to play with us and go into the new bowl of gold where no man has gone before. But he's trying to figure out the warp drive so he doesn't get himself out somewhere he can't get back from. So that came from you, from the aspect of stop. Soak up what you are and don't fight with Dion when you're trying to figure it out because you don't have the premise down. Get the premise down and then you can enjoy the good meal. Because otherwise you're just going to take, you're going to take yourself to places that you're not comfortable, and then it's frustrating for you. So that's that hunger that's manifesting in that aspect of deliciousness. What is it you're hungry for, Bob? What is it that you are wanting or craving or feel that there is lack regarding when you're eating 4,000 calories a day? I mean, and you know, and you don't want to gain an ounce. Oh my God, don't let him put on an ounce. And he says he's the same way he was in New York, and that's just not the case.
Is he more or less?
Well, no, he is more muscular, so he's less bad.
Right.
But so that makes that now you've got a, now you're asking the question from a whole different premise. You see, when your meat content, or not fat, but your muscle meat content, that's more that has to be fed. And so you actually gain weight because meat weighs more than fat. And yet you got to stay the same within an ounce. But that's why the Snicker bars become delicious. He didn't do that in New York. Or if you bought a little chocolatey something, he'd eat it just because you laid it out for him. But now it's something that he looks forward to because the muscles that are now gobbling up when he gets to a point where what you call peckish,
Mm-hmm.
He has nothing to draw from because that part he could have drawn from has now been replaced with lean muscle.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's why the protein was important, because it would help that building process. But what you're doing is now you're actually building more.
Yes, yeah. I know, and I'm eating steak, you know, a couple times a week now, and
yes.
Fish every day, well, days when I'm not, and just really craving the protein.
Indeed. And it's because you're eliminating that simple process of before that was taboo.
Mm-hmm.
Where before you could just eat a little thing of fruit and just be happy. That's mm-hmm. just not holding you anymore.
No. Yeah.
So, therefore, you're getting an experience of how the rest of the world kind of runs with that process.
Mm-hmm.
Because before you could run your system so lean that the sugars from just those sugars, natural sugars from the fruits, gave you enough of a boost.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're coming into a place where that's got to have, you got to have something to hold you. That's why oatmeal's delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Or as you jokingly say, or Bob would say, something that'll stick to your ribs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good. And that'll wax and wane, just like the tide. But it's good because this new place you're coming to is a new place.
Right.
So your body's getting ready to do that process.
Yeah.
Because your heart is the issue, and the matter of the heart is the heart of the matter. That becomes then this new making room for the non-physical to be embraced in your reality.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it can burn calories in a fun, fun new way.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Your metabolism is changing.
Yes. Yeah.
Get to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it ain't through yoga.
Yeah. actually, you mentioned ribs. Just end with this before we bring JW back, if you don't mind. I've been having sort of ribs pulled and rib issues.
It's the eighth rib.
Eighth rib? What?
It's the eighth rib. Where's your eighth rib?
I don't know. How many ribs do we have?
But you're the MD, honey.
I know. You completely kiboshed any information I might think I know about my ribs.
Huh? Well, okay. the carriage.
Yeah.
The carriage that holds us all together. If you've got guests coming, you've got to make room for them.
Mm.
And so, therefore, that's a stretching of a muscular wrapping, because the bones of the rib don't hurt. Okay?
Yeah.
They float.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So even if you break a rib, all they do is tape them up.
Mm-hmm.
But you can, it causes shortness of breath because of increased pressure. Well, that increased pressure then is what does the headache sometimes in the mornings. That increased pressure is making room for the non-physical.
Mm-hmm.
More non-physical. And it's always there. It's been no bigger than it's ever been.
Uh-huh.
But it's a new guest.
A new guest, yeah.
That you're recognizing. Because, see, you can have somebody in your house and they just kind of come and go and you never see them, and they're gone when you're up, and you wouldn't even necessarily clean up their dishes, and they bring their own food, and you don't hear them, and they don't leave lights on. You can have guests in your house that you don't even aware of. Well, you don't have to do anything for them. It's just a normal run.
Mm-hmm.
But if every time you open your eyes, there they are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of a sudden, that divides your attention regarding it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Okay. Okay, then. Yes, I have an 8 o'clock coming up, so if we are complete for this moment with...
And what's the next topic that we go after this?
It is hemorrhoids.
Exciting. Oh, great.
Something
that's
to look
wonderful.
Forward to, yes.
The varicose vein of the rectum. Very good. All right, then we would be complete.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay, did you get any goodie?
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's like non-physical is so desperate that, you know, we've cut him off that he's just spilling the beans everywhere.
Ah.
I mean, just totally, like, verbal diarrhea, you know, to the extent of... Now, yesterday there was a new book on something or other. Today there's a new book on the heart.
And... Oh, cool.
went into cloning, and you know, Bob's going to have to listen to this, and oh, it's cloning.
Well, maybe just concentrating a little bit.
Oh, it's too amazing. Really well, good stuff.
Very, very wonderful. Well, very, very good. Well, then, and tonight is Chad with another reading?
Correct.
Good. Okay, we're good to go then, so we'll chat later.
Okay, great. And, yeah, Bob was going, I think he already did the Steve reading for an upload to the site, and I said, well, you know, Chad's lined up. We could probably get a good hour out of him as well.
Certainly. That's what I was trying to say before. Rather than kill yourself making old CDs, take and make new fresh CDs that are
safe for that. Yeah.
That's why we said to mark the time between the personal and the other.
Of course.
Because we kind of knew. You may catch us unaware, but rarely in the oblivious.
Right, very good.
So, okay. Very good. Well, have a great morning. I'll see you soon.
Okay, sweetie. Thank you. Bye.